Inconsistency. It is an enemy of any creative. It can cause you to live confused, unfocused, and blocked out from the destiny God has for you. In this episode of Go Creator Go, we get our minds right concerning staying steadfast and making blessed, productive, prosperous, creative decisions. I'm Antoine Bean. This is Go Creator Go. Let's do it. Everybody, hello, hello, and welcome again to another episode of Go Creator Go. I'm your host, Antoine Bean, and welcome again to Go Creator Go, guys. One more round of applause. Yeah, one more round of applause. Absolutely. God bless you guys, and welcome again to another episode of Go Creator Go. I'm Antoine Bean. Again, I am your host. And this is the podcast where creators come and gather, and this is the podcast where people who love the Lord, who create, come to gather. Amen. So, man, I would be remiss if I did not start off this episode talking about what's going on right now in the world. I'm sure, unless you've been in a cave somewhere, you probably have heard about Brother Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther himself, also aka Jackie Robinson, aka James Brown, aka Thurgood Marshall. I mean, I go on and on about the iconic African-Americans that he has played on screen and Africans that he has played on screen. 43 years old, passed away from colon cancer, a four-year fight. You know, it's interesting how 2020 is right now. It has been, you know, it started off with the loss of Kobe Bryant in January, and now as this recording, we're knocking on the door of September and coming into a new season, the final season of the year. And, you know, God does things for a reason, that you have to look at that. And then we lose Chadwick Boseman. So, let's just for a second, look at the idea of, before we get into the topic that's at hand, which in a way kind of goes into this, well, it does go into this, really. Like I said, God does things right and in order. But I was actually tempted to record this episode a day before, and but something just told me to wait. And as soon as I decided to wait, that was when it happened with Chadwick. I never had the pleasure of meeting him. I work in the industry, so, but unfortunately I never had the pleasure of meeting Chadwick Boseman. I know for a fact that the brother is talented. I'm sure anybody would, there wouldn't be anybody to argue with me about that. You know, the brother definitely was crafted, and I mean, he just had a career, and not just a career, but a life that was really, you could just see God's hand on it, you know. Even, you know, it's not one of those things that, you know, after a person passes away, like, oh man, you just really can see now how blessed he was. No, he saw the blessings when he was alive, and people recognized the blessings when he was alive, which is awesome. you know, in anybody's life. You don't want to wait until you die until you recognize the blessings in your life. People see them while you're here. So that's a blessing in itself, and that's a whole nother broadcast. I have to do an episode about that, about, you know, recognizing your blessings. But as a creative person, you know, Chadwick really did take advantage of those blessings that he was given and those opportunities. The Bible talks about in Colossians taking advantage of every opportunity. And Chadwick Boseman did that. He did that, you know, and, you know, to be, you know, graduated from graduate of Howard University, HBCU in D.C., and was funded by Denzel Washington to go to Oxford in England to do acting school before he was even in the business. You know, God just orchestrated it that way. And then to escort Angela Bassett in an event at Howard, you know, way before he was even in the industry, you know what I'm saying? And had the chance to do that. And then later came full circle and became a pillar in Black Hollywood, like Denzel, and was played as a son of Angela Bassett in Black Panther, which is, I mean, God just, he just ties things up so nicely. Only God could orchestrate a testimony like that. I mean, only he could do that. And he does that not just for the famous, but he does that for you. He does that for me. He loves us that much. And I think to me, and I'm going to go out here and y'all stay with me, but you know, this passing is really, you know, people say, man, that's hard to swallow, man. That's a tough one, you know, but I don't think so. You know, to be honest with you, it really does personify the condition of Black men right now in America, in the world. You know, this man did 7 movies. 7, I counted. He did 7 movies during his diagnosis of stage 3 colon cancer. He did 7 movies. Not only did he do 7 movies, he did 7 monumental films that the man literally acted as if his life depended on it. When you go back and look at it and see these movies, and by now you know what they are, so I don't have to list them, but, and you know, he did this, and then on top of that, he did a gajillion charity moves while he was going through this. And as you probably know, we're in Memphis, Tennessee, and Triumph Meteor Studios, and we record Go Creator Go in the studio here in Memphis, in like kind of a centralized area of Memphis. So, and we're not far from St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. We're probably about 10 or 15 minutes away from there. And St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is the leading children's research hospital for cancer and leukemia research and things like that. Well, Chadwick Boseman visited there, I think twice, maybe, but I know one time for sure. But he visited there and made the biggest impact there, that according to people's testimony of him visiting. And he came and he just brought so much life to that place and blessed those children that were there. But little did we all know, he was dealing with that himself, going through cancer and, you know, chemo and surgeries, multiple surgeries, even while he was doing that. And we had no idea, you know what I'm saying? Like, we had no idea, excuse me, that he was dealing with that himself. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's like when it goes to my point, you know, the condition of Black men with this, you know, Kobe Bryant at the beginning of the year, when he passed away, it was literally like the falling of a hero. You know, he, you know, it was an accident, it was a freak accident, he died. And a lot of people just couldn't swallow that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, that just came out of nowhere. He was so young, he had these kids and, you know, his family. And, man, he just retired and, you know, he's about to live his life and, you know, trying to find his direction and what he wanted to do. He just won an Oscar. It was like, man, this is just, this dude had everything, everything. in tip-top condition physically. You know, he wasn't sick. He wasn't going through nothing. Like, he was just living his life, you know. And then that happened, you know. So it's kind of a trifecta in a way because, you know, the year prior to that, Nipsey Hussle was gunned down. You know, he was trying to build up things in his community in South Central LA. And, you know, he's trying to do the right thing and do stuff. And, you know, that lifestyle caught up and, you know, somebody just gunned him down for something as minute as just a verbal discussion. Just, they just came back and shot him. And then, you know, here we go a year later with Kobe. Now, you know, going through the year, then Black Lives Matter erupts, George Floyd and the countless people, you know, that are killed or abused at the hands of police, oh, you know, this year alone. Riots take place, you know, just cities getting torn up, and you know, it's just a, you know, this whole race debacle that and in some areas of the country is still happening. There's still protests, still rioting going on. I mean, it's crazy. And then here we are, Chadwick Boseman, an iconic view of Black excellence on screen, personified by a comic book, you know, of this idea of this utopian society in Africa. He's the king of this, you know, and he's the physical embodiment of this character that was created in the 60s, dead, you know. And not only is he passed away, he had to conceal his illness. He concealed that he was battling something and going through something. It was a personal choice, absolutely, and he had every right for that. But the man was dang near perfect and doing everything he had to do while he was sick to at least be seen as a regular, normal actor, a working embodiment actor. If he had told people, because people were like, well, why didn't they say something? Why didn't he say anything? You know, why? What would it have done? All you would have done was treated him like a charity case. You would have, you know, his work would have slacked up. And y'all would have been treating him like he's some kind of martyr, you know, like he didn't want that. He clearly didn't want that. He wanted to be treated like a person, you know, hey, you know, God got this. I'm going to keep this moving. I'm going to keep working because God gave me this and I'm going to do it. God gave me this assignment of acting and entertaining y'all and putting these messages out there, which lets me know also why he picked the parts that he picked. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wanted to make an impact. He wanted to make a difference. He felt, he was even quoted as saying, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he was quoted as saying that, you know, you make different decisions when you know the clock is ticking. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's more viable when you know that you don't have that much time left and you got things that you need to do, you know? And I talked about this in a previous podcast, Creative Enemy Number One, talking about, you know, procrastination. You know, we can't sit here and put things to the side and think that we got the time to play with. Clearly, 2020 is reminding us every moment that it is limited. We are just a vapor, you know, as the Bible says, you know, as Book of James said, we're just a vapor. We're just, you know. To think that you, it's very arrogant of you to presume that, you know, tomorrow we got time to do this and, you know, next week we can do this when you don't know the day nor the hour. You have no idea how long you're here. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And we see that. And you know, Chadwick Boseman lived that life. He lived that scripture, you know, that tomorrow is not promised. And you know, there are things that you just have to do in God, you know. But I'm saying all that to say, too, that, you know, as Black men, we, you know, in a world where Black lives supposedly matter, and that's a whole nother conversation. But, you know, the black man is the last person that I see. And I say that because I am a black man, but and I experience this. But black men are literally last. We are last in regard to even how we're treated in our own community. And, you know, there's a lot of lip service about, you know, oh, we love you and we honor you and this and that. But, it you know, actions do speak louder than words. And, you know, it's not about rioting and tearing stuff up that shows the care and love of a person. It's exemplifying what that person stands for, not just while they're here, but period. You know, the best way to honor someone is to love them. And the best way to love that person is to truly do what the Bible says that love is. It's patient, it's kind, it's long-suffering. You know, it doesn't seek honor or validation. I'm paraphrasing. It doesn't seek honor or validation. It doesn't look at any of that stuff, you know. And it really is a personification of Jesus Christ. And in a world where it's really all about, you know, feminist ideas and sexual lifestyles first, you know, and they say culture over, you know, over a lot of things. But I think the only reason why most people, and this is my opinion, I think the only reason why most people just gravitate to these causes is because they're part of them themselves. You know, the only reason why people support certain lifestyles is because they're in that lifestyle. The only reason why people support and look after certain races first is because they're a member of that race. They're a part of that race. And there's never a situation where they're looking at the other side of the fence. They're only looking at their own personal agendas and issues. And that's very hypocritical. And it's very, man, I can go on and on about this. I've actually gone too long about it, but it's very hypocritical. And there's so many holes in it. That's why it doesn't really work. You know, if Black Lives Matter really was a thing, Colin Kaepernick would be playing football right now. You know, you know, what's more important? You getting a street named after you, or you actually doing what you're claiming the cause you're fighting for is doing? You know, I don't really care to see my organization's name on a street. I want to see what I'm here protesting for done. You know what I'm saying? When you look at black men and the needs that black men have, they're not being met at all. Black men are not being treated equally. Black men are still more incarcerated than any group of people. Black men are still dying by the tons when it comes to our healthcare system more than anybody. You know, black men are now dealing with trauma from police brutality. The majority of the police police brutality situations are black men. They're getting killed and murdered and stuff like that. You know, no shade to people like Breonna Taylor and Sandra Bland and people like that. But the majority of the people that are getting killed, murdered by police are black men. You know, we can go on and on about the gang situation. We can go on and on about the drug situation. That's been going on since I was little. And, you know, it's just time out for personal agendas and getting personal laws passed based on lifestyles and sexual orientation and gender. You know, I'm just so over all that. I'm just over it, you know. But meanwhile, black men are just being used as really poster children to carry other people's agendas and movements forward. And that's just wrong. And I think that the death of Chadwick Boseman really kind of personifies all that. It does, because, you know, he's a man who dang near perceived himself. I mean, if you look at him on paper, this guy was perfect. But he was inside struggling. He was inside fighting this battle. And nobody knew. Nobody knew about it except the people that he loved the most dearly and chose to tell, you know, to, of course, his wife and family. But nobody knew. And that, to me, is the silent cry of the black man. You know, 2020 has been an amazing year for me. It's been a blessed year for me, and it continues to be a blessed year for me. It's one of the most blessed years of my life, but it's also one of the most scariest years of my life too. You know, I've had my share of scares too this year, you know, health wise and experience wise and just life. And I didn't go public with the things that I was dealing with too, because of the same reasons he did. You know, he didn't, you know, it's because, you know, life is real, guys. And with black men, we go through, whether you want to really look at it or not, is it black men deal with stuff. You know, we deal with stuff, like real stuff. And we are the head. I know ladies, you know, in this world of independence and Beyoncé's and, you know, I'm doing me and me first and, you know, me too and all that stuff. I get it. But at the end of the day, the order is that men are the head. It falls on us. So we get the responsibility of the lead of society, of the family. You know, men do that. We have that. We have that. Despite what you may think or how you want it or, you know, what, you know, whatever, God has put that in place. And until we submit to what God says, it's going to get worse, y'all. We have to put God over culture. We have to. Over personal agenda, over personal bias, over our own opinions and thoughts. God comes first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. I that is my life scripture. I will live by that. And I pray when God says, "Well done, my faithful servant," that he says, "You did that." You know, we have to put God first, Christ over culture, period, at the end, period. So, yeah. So I just want to go into that and just let that out and just let, you know, you guys know that, that God is real and life is real. And we can't keep discounting black men and putting black men to the side as an afterthought or giving them the honor that they should have after they die. You know, we shouldn't do that. But yeah, so it's amazing how we as a society have been, you know, this year. You know, people are not as strong as you think they are. 2020 has proven that. It's some real stuff out there, and there's some real agendas moving out there, and there's some real demonic stuff happening in our world and in our culture, and we're losing good people. We're losing good soldiers in this war. So we got to really go to God, and we got to stay in prayer. And just, you know, keep it moving. Because I know that's what Chadwick would say. Man, keep it moving. And let's lift God up. And let's go. So with that said, I'm going to take a quick break. As a requiem for the king. Or for a king. Not the king, but a king. And then we're going to take a pause for the cause. And when we come back, we're going to get into our topic. This is Go Create a Go. I'm Antoine Bean. Rest in power. Chadwick Boseman. Bless you, man. All right. We are back. And we are back now on Go Creator Go. I'm Antoine Bean. And thank y'all so much for being here and joining us and for listening to that. Let's move on. So we were talking about being consistent. As creators, you have to be consistent. You know, I can't tell you guys how that is such a challenge to be, especially somebody who's doing something new creatively. When you're doing something new creatively, consistency is probably your biggest adversary. Inconsistency, rather, is probably your biggest adversary. And I say that because consistency is the constant flow of a continuing action. And it's the constant flow of a continuing action at a continuous time for a continuous season and a continuous moment. So you have to keep that thing going and going and going. You know, it's just like, making an avalanche, believe it or not. You know, most avalanches start by one movement of a stone or a rock or a gathering of something at the top of the mountain of snow, at the top of the mountain, and then it literally gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That one piece can turn into an entire avalanche going down the mountain and just wiping out everything in its path. So that's being consistent. I know it's a bad example. You don't want to be tearing stuff up, but in some cases you do want to tear stuff up if you're trying to make an impact, you know, and the avalanche is probably the best example of that. You know, when you are confused and undecided, you are literally blocked out. You know, you're not able to think clearly and you're not able to structure and formulate things according to the plan that you have and the purpose that you're needing to do it in for what you're trying to accomplish. You know, this show is a perfect example of that. Any podcaster will tell you that consistency is key, you know, to whether you're doing it every day, because there are daily podcasts out there, people who literally record every day, and there are people who do it every week, and there's some people who do it every month. So if I decided to just say, you know what, I'm just going to stop doing Go Creator Go for like a month, like, people are going to be like, are you crazy? Like, I was looking for my new episode. Where are my new episodes at? Like, I think one time I was a couple of hours late posting one of my early shows. I think it was like episode 5 or 7 or something like that. And I think I was just a couple of hours late. And somebody like hit me up on Facebook and was like, hey, man, like, you not doing that anymore? I'm like, I mean, give me a minute. I'm posting it up now, man. It's loading now. And he was like, oh, okay. I was just checking, you know. So people are looking. People are looking for your consistency. People are looking for you to be on tap, on cue, on task, as it were. You know what I'm saying? The book of James talks about that. You know, it's like, you know, he talks about you don't want to be like a ship cast to and fro. You know, Solomon talked about it, you know, in Ecclesiastes. He said, whatever we find our hands to do, we should do it with all of our might. He talked about it in Proverbs, I believe. And Jesus himself talked about being consistent. You can't, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't think one thing and do another, but yet your mindset is, you know, this. You know what I'm saying? You have to be consistent in what you think. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, you know? So if you mean it, mean it. If you don't, then you don't, you know? If you don't have an opinion on it, you shouldn't weigh in on it, you know? You should be consistent, you know, in everything, not just when it comes to your spiritual life. You know, of course you should be consistent in your prayer life. Of course you should be consistent in your devotional with God, your alone time with the Lord, but you should be consistent with your family. You should be consistent with your spouse if you're married. You know, if you say, well, sweetheart, Thursdays are our date nights. So every Thursday, we're going to have some me and you time every Thursday. I'm telling you, it will bless your marriage. And I'm talking to myself, too, because sometimes, you know, we get busy. So, you know, we need to have some devotional time for our loved ones. With our kids, same thing, you know, got a little kid and you saying to the baby, hey, Saturday, we gonna do this. I'm telling you, they're gonna remind you all week about Saturday. And if you show up and you do what you said, it makes such an impact. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen children's hearts broken because of inconsistency from their parents. I've seen that. I've been a witness to it. You know, that's a whole nother podcast. That's a whole nother thing. You know, consistent in your business, how you handle business. You're consistent on your job. If they say, hey, be there at 8 o'clock, I bet you're going to be there. You know, especially if it pays well, if it pays really good, I guarantee you, you're going to be there, not just on time, but you'll be there early. And you'll yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm clocking in. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. I can't wear jeans. Okay, no problem. I need to wear a tie every day. Okay, no problem. You know, you're consistent with that. So how come you can't be consistent with your business, with your entrepreneur business? You know, sometimes people think that when you're an entrepreneur, that means you just kind of lounge around. You just kind of do you, and yeah, you know, I can work when it's time to work, but you know, for the most part, I'm just chilling, man. I'm enjoying my life. No, you have to be even more consistent when you're working your own vision as opposed to working somebody else's. And even when you have that, you got to be consistent in how you market and promote it. Hello. I'm anybody there? Hello. You have to be consistent in that and how you market and promote it. You got to get on social media. You got to do some lives sometimes, Facebook, Instagram. You got to do some tweets. You got to do some video. If you're a podcaster, you have to podcast. You have to record. You know, you have to find a consistent day. I record on this day. I record at this time. I get it done and turned in by this moment. I email my information by this time, you know, and that's it. I use this company and you go through these channels, you know, and you have to be consistent every time. You'll be amazed how just being consistent will open doors for you. How, you know, being steadily the same and readily available will bring blessing to you. And people build trust in you when you're consistent, you know. It's just like paying a car note. If you have a car note that's due on the 15th and you decide to pay every month on the 10th, I guarantee you they treat you a little bit differently than the guy who's paying either the day of or a couple of days late and they don't know when they're going to expect the payment. They have no idea. But you can turn around and say, you know what? I'm thinking about trading this car in. You think they're going to turn you down if you've been paying not just every month consistently, but early? They're going to be like, not only are we going to give you, approve you for another vehicle, we're going to expand how much we give you. So, you know, at first you were getting like $10,000 for a car budget, but we're going to double that because we know for a fact that you're going to take care of your business. Because why? You are consistent. If you have a business, an entrepreneurial venture, and you are, let's say you have a service where you're cleaning up buildings, and you're consistent in, you know, how you do that building and that operation, they're going to love you. Why? Because you're solving a problem that they have. You're fulfilling a need that company possesses. They need you to help them fix this situation. That's why they hired you in the first place. So when they do that, they trust you with what they're needing done. And not only do you meet that expectation, you exceed that expectation with your consistency. And when you do that, man, I'm telling you, they'll call you and say, listen, we just acquired another building and we would love for you to do this one as well. It's a whole separate contract. We'd love to have you there. I'm telling you, it opens up doors of favor and blessing that you have no idea that could benefit you. Because not only can you be consistent in blessing, you're consistent in sin. You can be. I mean, you went to the club every weekend. You know what I'm saying? You went to the club every weekend. You went in there with plans to get drunk or to mess with women up in there or guys up in there and to do what you wanted to do. And you were consistent in that. So why is it so hard for, you know, people to be consistent in vision or in their creativity or in their business, because it all stems from just really rebellion. It's a rebellious nature. It's a self-centered nature instead of a Christ-centered nature, you know. And it all stems from one situation. Excuse me, one situation, and that is not having a made up mind. I'm gonna pause right there. Not having a made up mind. That is really the Achilles heel of all of that. When you don't have a made up mind, it can mess you up tremendously. You know, there's nothing stronger than a Christ-centered made up mind. You know, I remember in Genesis, if I'm not mistaken, that they were building the Tower of Babel, you know, and they were building this tower. And, you know, King Nimrod was like, we're going to build this tower and we're going to go to heaven and conquer heaven. We're going to go up there and take over. And they were building this tower, and he was just getting taller and taller and taller. And it was so vast, and it was moving so quickly, this idea, that God himself came down to earth in disguise, just looking and just walking around, checking out everything. And he was like, you know what? There's nothing man can't do together when their minds are made. I'm paraphrasing. When their minds are made up, when they're determined to do something, they're going to do it. I need to change this. I need to fix this. And he confused the language, the Bible says. He confused the languages. So that's the reason why, you know, we all speak different languages, and then we have to learn them, you know, because he added confusion to it. He's not the author of confusion, but he confused the languages for a purpose. He changed the languages and the tongues of different people. So that way they wouldn't be on one accord to try to do something in evil as opposed to doing something in faith. So that's the reason why he did that. So if they were doing that for that purpose, imagine what we as human beings, as mankind, could do for God's purpose, right? That's the reason why you see such extraordinary blessing in certain things. Like I said, like with Chadwick Boseman, the man's mind was made up. He was determined, like, yeah, this diagnosis is here, but I'm still working. This diagnosis is part of what's happening, but that's not going to stop me. The man did 7 prolific films while he was diagnosed with stage 3 at that. Stage 3 colon cancer is nothing to sneeze at. And I please don't do the research on that, because it really will turn your stomach. It really will put you in a certain kind of way. You know, I've heard medical professionals say all the time, don't research medical stuff on the internet, because A, you don't know what you're doing and looking at, and B, a lot of that stuff is actually not true. It's more pronounced than you think it is. But I'm telling you, stage 3 cancer is a real deal. It is serious business. And for that man to do 7 films, and I know the process of making a movie, it is not a quick process. There's nothing short about it. There's nothing easy about it at times, depending on the type of film that you do, because there were a couple of those movies he did that were very physical. And not only do you have to do those cuts, you have to do them over and over and over again. And at the same time, having to keep his body nourished and keep his medicine going and get the right rest, because the average time workday to shoot a film is like 12 to 14 hours. And that's talent. Like, that's for actors and stuff. 12 to 14 hours. People behind the scenes are literally working almost round the clock. It is crazy the schedule that you would work when you're making movies, you know. And like I said, the bigger the budget, the more the work. I know it sounds crazy. You would think the bigger the budget, the easier the job. That's not true, because you got more toys that you're playing with. You got more people that you're routing up and getting around and working with and coordinating. It's a big venture to do just one film, let alone 7. And man, this guy, he had a made up mind. It was no question that that he had a made up mind to do the work that he did with the excellence that he did it. It's about a decision, guys. It really is. It's about a decision. You know, when we walk in the favor of God and we walk in the blessings of God, part of the reason of that, I would say, dare say, 99% of the reason of that is because we have made up our minds to do what God told us to do and to walk in the path that God has chosen us to walk in. The Bible says that he will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The path that he chooses is life, regardless of what the outcome may be or the situation that's going on around us. Despite that, the outcome is always life when God chooses the direction. Not when we do it, not when we trying to fit our own agendas, not when we trying to fit our own, when we trying to put culture over everything. When we follow God, he creates a path for us and we walk it. And when we walk that thing, despite what the world says, despite what diagnosis may be, despite the doctor's report, God is going to get the victory and he's going to bless our lives. He is going to make our names great. And he is going to make his name famous. And he is going to do what he said he would do in our lives. That's exactly what he did for Brother Chadwick. That's exactly what he did for him. He made his name great. And he got glory too. Because the truth of the matter is that the man did what God told him to do. He chose him to be in that position for such a time as this. And he did that thing. And he had a made up mind in doing it. Now, I'm sure there were a couple of moments where he was like, you know what, man, I just feel like just quitting this stuff and letting this go and, man, just going home and living my life, man. But he was like, no, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to fulfill my purpose. I'm going to fulfill my assignment. And when you're consistent, you have that attitude. Nothing's going to change your mind. You know, I was I look at a lot of documentaries and I look at interviews and stuff like that too, not just with famous people, but like great people and politicians and influencers and things like that. But one particular interview I was looking at not too long ago was with Mark Wahlberg, and he was talking about how his workout regimen, you know, he's really big into fitness and stuff like that, because not because he wants to, well, of course he wants to, but in his mind, he kind of has to do it because he's acquired injuries, because he goes to the limit with everything that he does. He makes up his mind to do something. And when he does it, he goes full force in it, which is actually biblical. That's actually biblical. The Bible says that when we do something, we should do it as unto the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So that's. When you're doing it as unto the Lord, you are literally doing it without any limits, without any restrictions. You're doing it as if God himself is saying, I got your back. Do it. This is it. This is what I called you to do. This is the moment that I want you to do it in. Go. And that's how you do it. It's when you have that mindset, nothing can stop you. And that's exactly how Mark Wahlberg was saying. He said, When my mind's made up, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm not going to think twice about it because I know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And he just kept reiterating that, especially when it comes to his fitness life. You know, he just recently went plant-based on everything. So he's no longer eating any kind of processed food, any kind of meats or anything like that. He's doing all plant-based food. And he was like, man, I feel incredible and I'm not going back. And like, nah, this is what I'm doing. And my mind is made up. He kept saying that. My mind's made up. I'm just going to go. And so you hear that in old rap songs. I got my mind made up. Come on, everybody. You know, my mind's made up. I've decided. And when you decide, then the doors are going to open for you in your decision, good or bad. If you decide, hey, I'm going to the club, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do stuff I ain't got no business, I'm going. And guess what? You end up doing it because your mind is made up. But you can turn around and say, you know what? I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to eat fresh food. I'm going to work out. I'm going to remove this old unhealthy lifestyle. I'm just going to walk in this. I'm going to do this. I'm determined. My mind is made up. I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to work out here at home. I am going to do this. I'm going to finish what I start, and I'm going to complete the things that I put in my hands to task to do, you know? So I'm telling you, doors open when you make a decision. There's several scriptures that I want to read to you to show you. And to be honest with you, there are literally hundreds of them in the Bible that talks about consistency. And it talks about the cost of being inconsistent as well. But I'm just going to go through a couple of them with you for you guys. And I'm going to list them below in the description of this episode. So that way you can kind of have them and you can reference them for them to be a blessing to you, to keep you motivated in your consistency. Okay. So most of these are coming from the English Standard Version, the English Standard Version Bible. So the ESV. And I'm just going to go through a few. About first, I'll talk about God's consistency. So first of all, before I get into this list, there is no being in the universe more consistent than God himself, whether it be in blessing and in judgment. You know, he's not, and there's a reason why, and I'm going to show you why God is that way, and he expects us to be that way as well. His yes is yes, and his no is no. We talked about that earlier. That's Matthew 5:7, if I'm not mistaken. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That is the sign of consistency. If God has to be consistent, if God relishes consistency, then surely you can do that. You can do that because, you know, it takes away a lot of confusion when you're consistent as well. There is no, you know, well, let me think about that, and maybe I have to get back with you. Because when you're not consistent, then that means that something is constantly nagging and going. It's not resolved. When you're consistent with people, if you're not sure that you want to do business with somebody and they keep asking you to do business with them, if you just say, you know what, man, I'm just not interested in that, they're not going to bother you anymore. They're not going to come to you anymore. But if you like, let me think about that. Let me talk that over with my wife. Let me do this. Let me do that. Even though in your mind you have no interest at all in doing it, it's just going to be a lingering situation that is constantly, 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 constantly coming to you and bothering you and getting on your nerves about it. And you're like, man, I don't want to do it. Why does this dude keep calling me and bothering me about it? Well, you haven't given him a consistent no. You've given him a consistent maybe, but you have not given him a no. So that's the reason why you have to be consistent. So here are some scriptures here about God's consistency. So this is Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's a good one. I mean, that right there is, like I said, God is the most consistent. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is a consistent pattern, that if you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven without Jesus first. That's why you have to seek first his kingdom, Jesus Christ, his kingdom, Matthew 6:33. Again, that's that scripture. You have to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Well, blessing, favor, long life, prosperity, eternal life, you know, with him. Excuse me. Psalm 102:27, but you are the same and your years have no end. So that's a declaration to God saying that you are the same. You change not, being consistent. Now, it's just a few. I mean, I can go on and on and on, you know, in Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things and in him all things hold together. Even in his promises, he's consistent. He promises Abraham several times, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Talking about Abraham. But he's also talking about us, because we receive the blessings of Abraham, because we're grafted into that same blessing. So he's consistent. That was thousands of years ago, even before Jesus Christ, thousands of years before Christ came on the earth and declared that we have promises by God. So he doesn't change. He doesn't change at all. Be consistent. And even in the promises to us, you know, he doesn't change. And of course, not and being consistent and not changing and conforming to how the world is. He talks about that. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That means a made up mind. Decide that you're not going to be like them. You're not going to be like the rest of the world. You are going to walk in the statutes that God has placed, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, what's good and acceptable and perfect is the way God lives, and he wants us to live, how Jesus Christ lived when he walked the earth, and how he wants us to be. That's the consistency. That is the way a Christian person should be. And as creatives, we should be that way. We should constantly be on a level of consistency with our creativity. We should be consistent in our art. We should be consistent in our writing. We should be consistent in our art, on our drawing and our painting and our portraits. We should be consistent in our photos and how we take pictures and our style, our, you know, the niche that we've been given. We should be consistent in displaying that, right? And we should be consistent in how we flow creatively, you know, not necessarily doing things, you know, sporadically or one thing extremely different from the next. There should be a constant consistency to where when people even see your work, they know that you did that. Oh yeah, I know for a fact Antoine did that. Well, how you know? Because it's like, it's consistent to his other work. Like I could tell this is an Antoine Bean piece, you know? So people see that. People recognize that, especially when they see the consistency in you. They become lovers and respecters and admirers of what you produce. So because of that, then they'll say, oh yeah, I know that's your work. I know that's your work. And check this out. And they will even spot imposters. They'll even spot people who try to imitate you and try to mock your gift by imitating you. For example, I give you a perfect example of that. So I make jewelry, right? One of the things I love to do is I make jewelry. I make beaded jewelry, the Triumph Jewelry Collection. Check it out, triumphjewelry.com. So the way that I make my jewelry is I make it in devotional time with the Lord. When I'm praying, when I'm just listening to worship, or when I'm like listening to sermons or something, or just in my, just like my alone time, my personal time with the Lord, he just gives me vision about creating jewelry. He just shows me different styles and colors and stones and stuff like that to use. And so when I finish my one-on-one time with him, I'll just go into the studio, into my bead studio and my jewelry studio, and I just turn on some worship and just start making them. Just start going. And I just start going. I'm just doing, I'm doing, I'm doing, I'm doing. And then next thing I know, it's an hour or so later, and it's like 50 beads and 50 bracelets in front of me. And I'm like, oh wow, okay, cool. And you know, people buy them, and you know, they're used as evangelical tools, when I'm evangelizing and things like that, and talking to people about the Lord and things like that. And people look at them and be like, man, those are nice bracelets. Where'd you get those? And then it just opens the door for conversation and all that. And I'm consistent. Every time somebody asks me that, I always bring God into the mix, because that is the purpose of them. Amen. So that's the purpose of them, and the point of them is to open the door for, you know, evangelism to make its way to their hearts of the people. And I believe that is the main reason why he even gave me the idea, right? Well, sometimes when I'm doing these and I'm out, whether I do vendor shows or I'm doing conferences or something like that, and I'm out and I have the table up and things like that, I noticed that people, you have a couple of people who come and they say, you know, show me how to do this. How you make this stuff and da 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 da. And I've never been led to literally show someone how to make the jewelry that I do. I've never been led to do that. God has never said, yeah, show that person how they do it. And then I'll look up a couple of months later or a couple of weeks later, and that same person who tried to ask me or try to get me to divulge where I get my beads from, how I do it, and, you know, things like that. They've turned around and they've made some jewelry, literally just tried to be just like mine, and even tried to say that they made it in prayer and tried to take the testimony and everything. And, you know, at first it was really discouraging. It was almost, I would get upset because it's like they're literally trying to copy what something intimate between me and God. Like they literally try to imitate that thing, you know? And the first thing I would hear the Lord say is, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Leave it, let it go. Let it go. Because it's not founded on the same principle. It's not rooted in consistency of what you and I have. And true enough, they'll do it for a little bit and then they'll go back to their other hustle of what they were doing before after a few weeks. Or they'll go and they'll try something else that they'll do, you know, you know, that they tried to do before and it didn't take off. Then they'll come back to the bracelet and do that again. Then they'll go back to the hustle they were doing before. Then they go back to another hustle that they were doing in the beginning. They go from making jewelry to painting portraits to, you know, taking pictures to, you know, they're just literally all over the place. And I'm saying that to say that that's what James was saying. You're like a ship tossed to and fro by the wind. Like you're literally going from one hustle to the next hustle to the next. Well, if this doesn't work, I'm going to try this. Well, if this doesn't work, I'm going to go here. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to go there. You know, and there's no consistency in what you're doing. How can anybody support a vision that doesn't have direction? Ooh-wee. I'm going to pause. How can anybody support a vision that doesn't have direction? I'm telling you, it is serious business. You have to have direction. You have to have consistency. And for us, we're called to have that consistency. You know, we have to have that. James 1:4, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That happens when you're consistent. That happens. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. That is Colossians 3:23-24. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. Have the consistent faith between you and God. You ain't got to broadcast that. You ain't got to go back and forth. And I'm doing this for the Lord, doing that for the Lord. God knows. That's Romans 14:22. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. 1 Corinthians 10:21. You can't have it both ways. You cannot be inconsistent in the things that you do. You can't. You have to stand on what you say and what God has given you to do. And of course, that Matthew 5:37 scripture, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Yeah. So you have to be consistent. You have to be consistent, guys. If you want to have an effective creative life, if you want to have an effective blessed life, if you want to have an effective life, period, you have to be consistent. You have to stay on task with what God has given you. And I think if anything, we can say You know, and it goes again, going back to Chadwick Boseman, anything you can say about that man in his career is that he was consistent despite what his report was, despite what the things that were going on in his life happened. That man was consistent. He stayed the task and the course, and you had no idea. And God himself will give you strength as you endure what you're assigned to do. That's a proven fact looking at him. That's a walking testimony looking at him, that as he was going through the battle he was going through, God gave him grace to finish. And I pray that way for you. I pray that same prayer for you. Amen. 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 In conclusion, the Lord is faithful. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. That means he's consistent. When you look at your creative flow, your obligations to both God and others, are you consistent in meeting them? Are you making true, honest decisions and sticking with them? Are you working on what you're supposed to be working on and removing what you're supposed to be removing from your life? Are you consistent? I believe you honestly know the answer to that question. It's not possible for you to be unstable, indecisive, and middle of the road in how you view and handle life, but expect consistency and excellence from other people for your needs and concerns. That's not only selfish, but a very stressful, disappointing, and foolish way to live. James wrote, "Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." A person who is determined to live a whole and full life in Christ is never without, because living this way points to faith. A consistent believer simply believes, trusts, and follows God. Simple as that. And their consistent actions, in turn, reflect that. That's why there's results of blessing, favor, and peace in their lives. That is available for you now. So be honest with yourself and make up your mind. Decide. Remember, you have purpose as a creator. And God wants to make use of it, not only to be a blessing for you, but to help move his kingdom forward through you. I want to call you guys to the altar. If you do not have a relationship with Christ, or if you're seeking a relationship with Christ, man, listen, if any time is the time, it is now. Rededicate yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to the Father. Rededicate yourself to the Lord. I cannot say this enough. I know you're probably going to hear this a lot in this small season that we're in right now. But I'm telling you, if you haven't made peace with God, you need to do that now. Because tomorrow's not promised and life is real. And I'm not saying that because of the loss that we've experienced. I'm talking about your walk with Christ. I'm talking about where you are with the Lord. Because God wants to do amazing things through you. He wants to use you. And he wants to make an impact in your life, just like he made in Chadwick's. He's no respecter of person. He wants all of us to have a famous life in him. He said he'll make our names great. And he wants to do that for us. He wants to be a blessing. Who doesn't want to see their child succeed? Who doesn't want to see their child first place? Who doesn't want to see their child win? That's how God wants you to be. He wants you to be a winner, a champion. He wants you to finish strong. So if you are looking to dedicate yourself to the Lord or rededicate yourself to the Lord, then say in your heart, and say out your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, that he died on the cross and on the third for your sins, and on the third day he rose to where we may have eternal life. You believe that and receive that in your heart, then you are of that number of people that are walking with him in the kingdom of heaven. But it doesn't stop there. After that, you need to connect with faith-filled believers connected to a ministry that loves the Bible, teaches the word, and loves God. And not only that, they walk in consistency with the Lord. Hook up with people like that. I'm more than sure that you know the people that you need to connect to upon making that decision. God has probably already revealed these people to you. You just have to make the step to do that. Once you do that, you line up with a ministry that is in line with God consistently, and you serve that ministry. You go in with that ministry. But more importantly, you go in with your devotional time with the Lord, and you spend time with him, and you grow in him and become one with him and build relationship with him, because he does want relationship with you. And through that, your consistency will grow and God in you will grow. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So, Father, I thank you for these amazing creatives. I thank you, Father, that you're planting in them consistency. I thank you that you're planting consistency in them that, Father, moves not just nations, but our world. God knows we need it. And Father, I thank you, God, that their health is strong, that their minds are made up, and that their decision-making power that you placed in them is activated. And they make decisions that bless you, and you in turn make decisions that bless them, that you empower them and protect them. You shield them from the works of the devil. You shield them from the enemy, and you keep them, Father, under the power of your might, that you, Father, impart in them ideas and concepts and creativity that no man can lay their hands on or can match, that can touch the hearts of men to lead them straight to you, Lord. And that, Father, you bless them, that you strengthen them, that you impart in them your wisdom, your truth, your love, your blessing, your favor. Father, I thank you that you are covering them, Father, with your protection. Father, that you heal people that are listening, that you empower people that are listening, and that you strengthen people who are listening. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we honor you, and we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness over any culture, over any idea or agenda. Father, you come first with us, and we're consistent in saying that, and we're consistent in believing that, because, Lord, we know that you are the head, you are first. And Father, we know that you are empowering us to, Father, be your ambassadors in the earth. So, Lord, pour upon us and pour upon them and those who seek you, even those who aren't even listening, Father, those that we're connected to who are listening. Father, let it be infectious of what you put in us, that we spread, Father, out into this world your word and your truth, and your creativity touches their hearts through us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. Well, that was an interesting episode. That was awesome. And I just want to thank you guys for listening to this episode of Go Creator Go. I love you guys so much. And feel free to comment, like, share, subscribe this podcast and what we're doing here. Say something about it on social media. Spread the word. I'm going to be doing some giveaways soon. And we're going to just have a lot of fun. We got a couple of new things coming up for the show and coming up for the brand. That's going to be really cool. And I can't wait to share this stuff with you and being consistent in it. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. I'm Antoine Bean. That was Go Creator Go. Y'all be blessed and live your lives creatively. Peace. Go Creator Go was recorded at the Triumph Media Works Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. For more information, check us out at triumphmediaworks.com and also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Triumph Media Works. And for more information on Go Creator Go, check out our Twitter at GCreatorG and on Instagram at Go Creator Go and Facebook on Go Creator Go. Until next time, be blessed.